Guys, you hear that? Do you know what that is?
Silence.
Silence? You only heard silence? You don't hear any rattling?
We can't hear any rattling.
No.
Well, forget it. Pretend then you heard a cardboard box rattling with jelly beans in it. These are no ordinary jelly beans, though. These are Bean Boozled. And
right.
You know what Bean Boozled are?
I do.
I think now you said it, I think I know what it is, because I think I watched one of our streamer friends eat them on their birthday stream, I think.
Mm. Well, Brandon knows what they are, but for our audience at home,
and
Bean
me.
Boozled, jelly beans, but the twist is, most of them look identical, but they're different flavours. You got nice ones like butter popcorn, berry blue, juicy pear, birthday cake. But then you've got ones like dead fish, dirty dishwater, boogers, stinky socks, and so on.
Vomit, basically, the infamous vomit one.
Yes. So I've got a charity stream coming up, and I thought it would be fun for like every £20 we get donated. I'm going to have one of these on stream. So I'm going to keep a sick bucket on standby. But obviously, I'm not the only one doing a charity thing, because Dan isn't. In fact, Brandon's going to be recording this because Dan's going to be off raising all of the money.
Well, I'm on my holly bobs, and then I actually do
holly bobs.
Then I actually do the challenge. But by the time this episode will be out, I'll have done the challenge. So,
or I've died. What are
you? We can all clap for future me, or we can all raise a hand and bury me as I go 6 feet under. I got morbid pretty quick. Sorry, guys.
Welcome to Vigil Shoes Podcast with me and Chris. Dan can't make it anymore.
This
is why we're teaching Brandon how to edit.
he's currently died because he's gone up Ben Nevis in the dark. Oh, no, Scaffold Pike in the dark, isn't it?
Yeah, Scaffold Pike. Yeah. To be fair, I got my head torched today.
So can we get this on record, Dan? Where would you like your ashes scattered, or would you prefer to be buried?
Pan, there you go.
I think he's going to want a Viking burial. We'll just lay him out to sea and just try and fire like flaming arrows at him, but keep missing in the process.
All right, whatever he's called from Sunrise and Fire.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden we'll just keep floating out until, like, I don't know, like some sort of whale just smashes into you. But like, well, that's him gone.
All right,
Brandon, we'll split the difference, Brandon. If you want to learn to edit, so we can do the podcast, and I'll learn archery.
I'd rather learn the archery, to be honest. Right, I've got a love-hate relationship with technology. Just for the viewers' awareness, so usually we start recording at our time about 8 o'clock and finish around about 10 o'clock. For the first half an hour, the three of us have been trying to figure out how to get an audio encoder to work on OBS. And turns out there's a lot of dodgy websites, all three of us have been scouring through dodgy websites to try and find a plugin, which Dan somehow miraculously fucking got before it all got like archived. And yeah, so we're recording now, so
hopefully
nothing worse than like looking at somebody else's settings with like they're using the same program, we're both looking at it going, have you got that? Ours doesn't look like that at all.
Yeah, me and Chris were completely different.
It's like, yeah, we've got like version 29, you've got like version, was it 4?
No, I think I got version 29.13 with that add-on in.
No, I managed to overcome. I actually just got the add-on for Audacity.
Yeah, I was like, you were like, oh, don't update it. And then eventually I was like, oh, fuck it, I'm going to update it. But then I still got, it's been, well, I think because I don't stream, it's not that bad for me. I don't have any problems.
I'll tell you this as a streamer, there's nothing that brings you on a cold sweat shortly before you're about to stream and seeing the notification saying update available. It's like, oh no, everything's going to break. And it does. Sometimes you just don't know what it is.
It's not only that, though. Like, the thing which makes me broken is, say for example, if I've been out streaming or something, and then I see that little orange icon in the bottom right say, oh, it's time for a Windows update. I'm just like, oh, fuck. Because the amount of times, like, when I lived in Peterborough, the amount of times I updated my computer, did a Windows update, and then the Windows update itself broke my PC because of like some files like getting lost in translation or whatever. So I think I went for a period of about a month where I had to reinstall Windows like 3 times because it just wasn't having any of it.
It's like a polite little mafia threat, isn't it? It's like, it's a nice stream you got there. It'd be a shame if it were to break entirely.
I feel like it's the same for any software, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Right, I do find this funny, because usually we do a cold opener, we stick to a general theme. We've gone from Bean Boozled to Three Peaks to software issues.
We should probably stop now before we like go on to like, really dark subjects.
I think we should move on to the podcast, absolutely.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Victory Achieved Podcast, the podcast where we talk about films, we talk about TV shows, books, as of last week, manga, anime, and, of course, video games, plus whatever the hell else we decide to talk about. So, in the recording studio tonight, which totally exists, we've got Dan.
Hello.
And Brandon.
I'm here, like, the sound guy, like, check, check, 1, 2, audio check.
Yeah, get the boom mic out of my face, dude. Come on. It's putting me off.
Fucking amateur.
Past Dan is preparing for Three Peaks. Future Dan is hopefully excited he did them, but we'll find out once the episode drops.
Future Dan's going to be in the bath.
Oh, he will be. Ready for...
I was going to say, there's an image for everyone. Dan in the bath. There we
are. It's probably just a bit like you know, Geralt from Witcher.
You have your legs like akimbo over the bathtub.
Yeah. It'd be that. It'd be me, but like that.
Yeah. After he's done his Three Peaks, he's going to set up his only Dan's account.
There you go. I got it fucking rhymes as well.
It does. Hence the pun. Anyway, since I'm starting this off, and I've invaded this intro, so Secret Invasion. It's finished. It's done.
What do you think?
What did you say, Brandon?
I said, how was it? Because I ain't seen it.
Let me put it this way. I got to a Saturday. I was like, oh, time to watch the new Bleach episode. Went on to Disney Plus and was like, oh, yeah. Secret Invasion episode came out a few days ago. Anyway, Bleach. I'm going to be honest, Chris. I think it's the worst Disney Plus show.
Oh, now there's a hot take.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
I think it's the one, where did all the money go? And two, it has the workings of why a lot of the Disney Plus shows are quite mediocre. Interesting first two episodes, boring middle section, big explosive finale, just to be like, here's two superpowered beings fight one another.
Well, yes.
Yes, oh, I exactly. Enjoyed it.
I still liked it. Apparently, a lot of other people did,
and a lot of people hated it as well. I think it's very mixed.
I've seen far less so. I've seen a lot of reviews, like critical things, like pan it. But if you look at like the user like comments like underneath, and I've seen this repeated time and time again. It's not just like one site. I've seen loads because for some it's like trending, so it's fucking everywhere. So I keep seeing it because Facebook and Instagram just loves to shove this stuff at me. And I've seen so many comments saying people are like, yeah, they really liked it. So I don't get it. I fall in the camp. I quite enjoyed it. Yeah, it's not the best show ever, but I preferred it way more than I did like Moon Knight.
I don't know what they're trying to do with the Disney Plus shows, but because Secret Invasion is all about the Skrulls invading. And I thought that would be far more interesting than it actually was. I don't know.
Admittedly, the plot did go in a different direction to what I originally thought it was going to go, like the trailers led on. I thought it was going to be more of a someone is like a spy, a bit like The Thing, but emphasize that more. And then it will like transpire in like the final episode, like you find out who it is. And there's a little bit of that, but it's like there's no mystery whatsoever as to who it is. It's like, yeah, it's quite clearly there. Yeah, so I thought it would be more of a grander reveal, and it wasn't. But that said, what we had, I thought was fine. I did think the villain, Gravik, was perfectly serviceable. He does like a angry little speech near the end, and I thought that was quite solid. Amelia Clark, I mean, there is the spoilers, I guess. Amelia Clark's character just gets stupidly overpowered.
She's now the most powerful character in the whole of the MCU.
Correct, yeah. I'm not sure what they're going to do about that. Because honestly, I can't see her sticking around for like any other MCU properties. I think they're going to do a bit like what they've done with like Captain Marvel and just say, oh yeah, she's pissed off, got somewhere else now. She's not our problem. She's gone away. Because they always come up with the excuse, then it's like, why don't you call the Avengers? No, they're on holiday.
Well, they literally had that as a thing in the series, like, oh, where are all the Avengers? And then there wasn't really, I can't remember what was said, but I was like, whatever, I'm just watching this because I started it now, so whatever excuse you got, just lay it down, I'm not going to care.
To quote Simpsons, it's like, every time the Avengers are on the screen, everyone should be asking, where's the Avengers? Where's Poochie?
Like, I don't mind with, like Hawkeye. Like, I don't need to know where the Avengers are, but something like Secret Invasion is a bit like, yeah, where the fuck are they? This is meant to be a worldwide threat, worldwide invasion, and then it's just like, man, I know where. Nick Fury with a gun.
Yeah, it explains why a couple of them have been, because, like, they've been catching. I suppose you just really just have to boil it down to, like, the individual things. Like, you know where the Guardians of the Galaxy are, you know where, like, Peter Parker's up to, isn't it? Like the ones that have had like the more recent movies, you know, where they're buggered on.
Yeah.
But some of them is like, don't we have a Hulk knocking around? He's not doing anything, is
he? And a She-Hulk.
Yeah, she's off pissing off the right wing.
I've got to that point now where I'm like, I just watch Marvel just because I've watched so much of it. I'll be honest, I'm not really that enjoying it. Some of the stuff that much. I'm just like, well, I've watched all the films, I've watched all the TV shows. I've just got to keep watching them, I guess.
It's a bit like playing like all the Final Fantasy games or like any sequence of games that you're into, because you feel like it's more like obligation now.
It's probably how people felt about like Kingdom Hearts. It's like, oh, I've played them all. I need to find out how it ends.
I need to find out what happens to Winnie the Pooh. It's like,
even if the story is batshit crazy, like, and then it's like, oh, how about we continue that into a Final Fantasy VII remake? Oh, wait, what?
At least, I'll give Marvel this, at least, well, I think for the most part, they haven't gone through the, oh, we beat it with the power of friendship and love angle.
No.
Oh, I'm waiting for it. It's going to happen.
The closest would have been Guardians of the Galaxy, really.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, like, oh, you use the yak arrow with your heart.
No, I don't think that'll be unless it's like a Young Avengers thing. On that, no, not really.
I did watch Guardians 3 again the other night, because it came onto Disney Plus.
Mm.
And after a second viewing, yeah, I still really like it.
Yeah. I've only seen it the once.
Yeah, I think for everything that people poo-poo like James Gunn for, and the current state of Marvel, I think it's still got some fight in it left. It's not like a horse. It's like,
oh yeah,
Guardians 3 was really goddamn good.
Oh yeah, Guardians 3 was good.
I am gonna have to sit down and watch Miss Marvel, because I still haven't done it, because we've got the upcoming Marvel films and November 4th, I think that's coming out.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have to force myself to watch it, because I'm gonna watch that at some point. It's kind of a shame. I always feel like stuff like series should be separate to the films. So, like, when they start crossing over, it's like, well, I just want to watch the films. I don't really want
for the Marvels, you need to watch WandaVision and Miss Marvel.
And I suppose Secret Invasion to an extent, because it's got Carol Danvers and Nick Fury in, so it's going to be questions.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah, I forgot Nick Fury's in the Marvels.
Yeah, I kind of hated seeing his face in the trailer for it, because the Secret Invasion hadn't finished yet, and you're thinking, well, we know he's fine.
I'll be honest, I don't think he would have died in the TV show. A character like that and played by Samuel Jackson, I doubt he wouldn't. He would never have died.
Yeah, it's just that obviously, like, some actors, like Dave Bautista, said like they're retiring the character now, and obviously Sam Jackson's getting on a little bit, so I wouldn't have been surprised if Invasion was going to be like his swan song. It's like, that's it. That character's done now.
He's 74.
I know. Bless him. He's still one of my favourite actors.
Oh, yeah.
You probably know if you listen to last week's episode. Folks. It's kind of like, if you look at the reviews for Secret Invasion, it's kind of like sitting in the middle. It's not the worst one. Not by a long shot for me. It's not the best one either, but I did enjoy what I watched.
I forgot episodes were coming out. So that tells you how grabbed I was by it. Yeah.
Well, each to their own.
But it was a Secret Invasion. Like, you know, you're not meant to notice when newest has come out.
That was that, isn't it? They should have told you when it was coming out, shouldn't they?
Yeah, they should have told you.
Coming soon? Question mark?
Loud Invasion.
The only way you could find it would be going through the search function and like putting in a secret code like Tony Stark number one or something.
Bless you.
That was
bless
a cough,
you, child.
Oh, well.
I'll cough you, child.
Fuck you, too.
Where that came from.
No. I don't know. So, have you guys seen anything else?
I've seen a few things. I did finish The Witcher, the third season. Pretty much exactly what we said about the first episode. Pretty much kind of exactly the same. It's just, more... They clearly don't know what they were ever doing. There's a cool action episode near towards the end, but the last three episodes, they tried to pump like three books into one. I was just like, yeah, let's just leave it.
Wait, so is part two of season three come out? Is this still part one you're on about?
This is on both.
Oh, okay.
The part two was just three episodes. I thought it was another five. It was just three episodes. It was like what they did with Stranger Things, where they released the majority of it, and it's just the last two episodes. So it's just the climax of the whole season we had to wait for. More of what we said the first time. Yeah, it's a bit lackluster.
Just don't know what they're doing.
I don't think they're doing any more. I think they were going to, but I think it's... Of all the how season three's fared, I think they're probably going to cancel it.
Didn't Henry Cavill drop out anyway?
Yeah, Henry Cavill's dropped out anyway. But they mentioned about having Liam Hemsworth, but from the sounds of it, that they're kind of going back on that, and they're thinking about just cancelling it. But as I said before, I think from start to finish, it's been a pretty poor adaptation, in my opinion. But hey-ho. The same with like what you were saying about Secret Invasion. There's people that will watch The Witcher and really enjoy it. People that will watch many things and they'll really enjoy it. So at the end of the day, I swear I've said this on the podcast before, these are just our opinions. They're not the right opinions, just our opinions. You know, if you like something that we don't, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. We're not right because we don't like it. If you like it, don't care. You shouldn't care what we think.
Yeah, formulate your own opinion. Even if we tell you not to watch it, watch it. Just like people told us not to watch School Days, but we did. And I'm going to keep recommending people to go watch School Days.
No.
Yes, do it.
Don't play fucking Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
Well, tough, I'm going to play Paw Patrol. Fuck the system.
I was thinking about, was it Bugsy 3D?
Don't play fucking Bugsy 3D.
Yeah, don't play Bugsy. I think
I can't even say that phrase without swearing. Because it's not like, don't play Bugsy 3D. Fucking 3D.
He feels like he's got away from it, but it always crawls back into one of these episodes every now and then.
Janky polygons.
You know, again, I'll have weeks. I'll have months where I'll be absolutely fine, and then one day it just comes back. It's like no, and I have to go like fully shut myself down.
Should play for his charity live stream.
No. Oh my gosh, no.
I think that should be your next channel point goal, Chris.
He's already done that.
I've done it.
Oh, when did you, was that ages ago?
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, about a year ago.
I'll do it again. Why not?
No.
He's gone through enough. Well, why not? Have you ever, do you like the Shenmue games?
I've never actually played them. Are they, what's wrong with them?
I'm talking to more Chris.
I played the first one when it very first came out on the Dreamcast, and I never finished it even back then because I was getting bored with it.
Oh, then, like... There you go. There's the next channel goal. Play Shenmue 1, 2, and 3.
No, I've seen Super Eye Patrol's video on Shenmue 3.
Exactly.
Like, Nah.
Exactly.
I think I've got better things to do than waste my time. Like, oh, if we're gonna play a game, I'm gonna play a good one. Except when I play a crap one. But if I'm gonna play a crap game, at least it's short.
Yeah, it's probably a safe way to do it. It's play a short crap game.
No one wants to watch a shit game.
Unless you're it's a Wheel of Only run. There you go.
Speaking of things that take a long time to watch, I saw Dune, the remake, because that got added to Amazon Prime.
Ooh.
Dan, you've seen Dune, haven't you?
Yeah, I saw it in the cinema when it came out. I didn't actually want to talk about it, but now you've seen it, I guess we'll finally talk about it. But I think what I felt was it was just a big build-up and then nothing, because it's a two-part thing, and I was like, I think this would be better when you... I think the first film will be better when the second part of the film is there, because it's just a massive build-up to nothing.
Yeah.
It's still good, though.
Obviously, I knew going in it was like part one of two, so yeah. I thought it's going to be a hard film to review, but with the strikes going on, like, everything's been pushed back, so... Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to watch this film again before part two comes out. Chances are I'm not, because I'm already familiar with like the original, like, David Lynch one, because I watched that time, so I know the basic premise. But Dune's got a hell of a cast. It's got like Dave Bautista, it's got Josh Brolin in, it's got Stefan Skarsgård in it.
I've forgotten his name. Aquaman, I've literally forgotten his name.
Oh, Jason Momoa. Yeah. Zendaya. Although she's got like the easiest job ever. She's like basically just posing for a perfume ever for the whole.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oscar Isaac, of course, isn't it? So yeah, it's got a hell of a cast.
Incredible cast.
But it has got a strange pacing though. It's like it's got the climax in the wrong bit. It's like a slow build-up introduction. That's fine. And then you got like a ton of action like in the middle, like a big scale invasion, kidnapping. A load of stuff happens. And then like the last sort of like half hour of it like really winds back down again. It's like a bit of a knife fight right near the end. And it's like, come back for part two where other things will happen.
I think this is why I felt a bit disappointed, because it like has a big build up and then kind of like deflates a bit, and then you're like, eh. I still really enjoyed it, but I think it's something that when you have both films and you do a ginormous watch of like both of them back to back, like you would do with like, I don't know, Lord of the Rings films, I think it's gonna be great. But it's a bit like, I want the second part to more enjoy the first, more appreciate the first part more. Well, maybe it's just me, because I know loads of people who love it, so maybe it's just me.
If you're unfamiliar with Dune, the basic premise is you've got this desert planet Arrakis, which has got a substance called spice, which is a very high commodity. It's got amazing healing powers. It gives people like psychic powers. It's needed for like interstellar travel, and essentially you've got the baddies, which are pretty much just the Empire from Star Wars taking over. They're even called the Empire. But this is written like donkeys years ago, so we'll let it off. I don't know if it was before Star Wars or not, the original Dune.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think it might be. But there you've got the inhabitants of Arrakis who are like sensitive to like the spice, and then you've got the main cast, like your main characters is as Atreides, who are like the big sort of family of the like ruling class in the universe, who are basically there to harvest the spice and see like production is going smoothly and protect the planet as well. And the film mainly focuses on Paul Atreides, who's like the up and coming, like next in line to take over. And he's got like quite sensitive, essentially psychic powers. So he's your main character.
Doesn't he get those psychic powers from his mum?
Yes, he does. It's it's one of the traits of like the sort of Atreides sort of lineage. And they're like capable warriors as well. It's kind of strange like watching it after I've watched like the original Dune. Because I'm like comparing like who's playing what character. Like Josh Brolin is essentially Patrick Stewart's character from the original. It's kind of weird making the comparisons. Which the weirdest thing though would make Dave Bautista as Sting. Which is just weird. If you've ever seen the original, Sting walks around in basically just his pants. Hmm. And now we've got a picture of Dave Bautista doing it. Thankfully he didn't whack out the Speedos. He's like fully dressed up. But I'm not sure if more or less people would be into the film if that happened. But tell you what, the original Dune's weird. I don't know if you've seen that. I've watched it a few times. I watched it when I was a kid. And it's got very trippy visuals, but it's a very long film. Well, it feels long anyway. And because it's like a David Lynch one, it's super weird. And I swear, every time I watch it, immediately after I finish watching it, I kind of forget all the details. It's like, what the hell did I just watch? It's like, and every time I rewatch it and go, right, I'm going to understand this more. I get the plot. I know what's going on. So I rewatch it. And then I come out of it somehow more confused every time. It's such a strange film. I've never known anything else like it. Every other film, yeah, fine, watch it. Dune, every time. It's like, I swear, I just don't know what's going on. What the hell did I just watch every time?
Do you, like you say that, but did you watch Inception and understand it, for example?
You know what? I watched Inception once. I fell asleep about like twice watching it.
Okay.
I've never actually sat down and right. I tried to watch it. I don't know. When I was watching it, because it. I just fell asleep. I understood the ending. I understood what was going on.
Mm.
But I don't know, I quite fell asleep. When people were saying, oh, Inception's like great, it's like, it was all right. I don't think it was fantastic. I prefer Shutter Island.
I love the sound design of the new Dune. It's really cool.
I was about to say all of the sound design in Inception, which is basically... Bram.
I think even Dune's a little bit like that, to be fair.
Yeah.
it's really cool with like all the sandy planet and like how they're when they go to Arrakis with the and like the way that they breathe and all that. It's pretty cool.
The original Dune, when they do like the sort of telepathy thing, they whisper like all the lines, and even when you've rewatched it, you're just thinking, what the hell did you just say? Can't fucking word of that. I will pretend it's important, but fuck knows what you just said. But then again, with the dialogue I can hear, you know that. I understand the plot, but I don't understand anything anyone's saying. It's like, I know the words, I just don't know what order the words you're in. That said, I still like it because it's trippy and I watched it when I was a kid, so I kind of got a soft spot for it.
Oh, yeah.
But I was saying to my dad, because I watched it with my folks, I was just saying to him, like, the new Dune, it's a lot more coherent than the other one. He's like, I actually understand what's going on in this one. It's so much more, it's so much more simplistic. Bad guys, good guys, spice. Yeah, got it. Understand. Big old worms. Sandworm. Yeah, big old worms. And they were cool. We like those.
Yeah, the sandworm bit's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, they really, I emphasise the size of them more in this than they do.
Yeah. I can imagine.
I was about to say I need to watch the original again, but I only watched it like 6 months ago. And I know the exact same thing's going to happen. I'm going to watch it and go, the hell did I just watch?
I do that all the time.
Definitely.
I do recommend the new Dune.
Yeah. Brandon puts on a strange anime and he's like, what the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah, got to rewatch it again. Just to make sure.
I tell you what, half the time when you're saying the names of your Japanese anime, I'm just thinking, the fuck did you just say? What was that?
The isekai names are just like, I swear this is just made up from AI now.
The isekai ones, just never bother reading the Japanese ones. Like the English ones are sometimes a bit janky, like reincarnated as a refrigerator and trying to run away from my ex. I'm just like, who the fuck comes up with this sort of logic?
Well, there's one airing... At the moment, it's like reincarnated as a vending machine.
Yeah,
it's
literally like
what?
That.
What? You're not watching it, are you?
No.
They just sound like the names from the, you know, those like really shit mobile games that you keep seeing.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just word salad.
It's literal word salad.
Freedom washing machine of, ooh, is that what?
But you know what's probably not, but you know what's not stupid, well, it doesn't have a stupid name, is Serious Sam. Isn't that right, Chris?
That's a very serious game.
Well, yes. I've talked about Serious Sam before on this channel. I'm not on Twitch anymore. Get my head straight. I'm sorry, I was thinking about Dune. I'm just very confused.
He's got his streamer brain on.
I've talked about Serious Sam before, actually not too long ago, only a few months back. But on Game Pass, they dropped Siberian Mayhem, and I thought, oh, that's like a DLC. It's like, but no, it got its own like standalone release. It's like, oh, fair enough. It's only 5 missions, but the missions are quite long. They take like an hour plus to do. So it's like the first mission is not too bad. The first mission only takes like 20 minutes. And then I was playing the next one. It's like, how long did that take? It's like an hour and a half. So, like, you know. But it's just like Serious Sam 4 again. A lot of enemies. Just turn your brain off. Hold down the fire button. Have fun. I really like the Serious Sam games, as I said before.
Yes, yes.
Literally just like a minute ago. But Serious Sam, I do think it's a massively underrated series.
You like, find it's a bit like a junk food game series where you play it and you know it's just going to be good old fun, nothing too, despite the name, serious, that you can just enjoy, and
pretty much. Like you see it and you know exactly what you're going to get, and it's like retains that feeling throughout the entire series. They're really fun games, but because of how simplistic they are for the most part, I wouldn't recommend playing them for extended periods of time. Just like do a level or two, put it down, come back again later. I mean, I'm trying to think what would happen to you if you decided one day, I'm going to play all the Serious Sam games back to back. I'm sure there's super fans out there. But Serious Sam is like it's like a really weird series. It's like the people that know it and have played it, I don't think, like, there doesn't seem to be any sort of like negative backlash. It's like everyone who's played it is like, I really enjoyed those games. Like, they're really fun to play. But they're not made by big AAA developers. Like, they were originally made by Crow Team. And they're kind of like a budget studio. So none of the games like look fantastic. There is jank. But they do go out their way to put like a sort of referencey Easter eggs, like in secret places that you'll probably never find. And some of them are pretty damn funny. It's kind of got a bit of like Borderlands humor to it. If you stick to like the main plot and don't go sequel, like don't go baiting, then it is fairly straightforward. But once you go off the beaten path and start looking for secrets, it's like then you can stumble across some weird stuff. Like 2001 Space Odyssey reference, for example, is one I stumbled across playing Siberian Mayhem. It's like, oh, okay. But it went a bit trippy for a bit. If you like Serious Sam 4, then Siberian Mayhem is quite literally just the same game. It's just an expansion pack. But it's 5 levels, but it took me like 6 hours to do, give or take.
You know what, when you talk about Serious Sam, you know what what the image I have in my head is the Flash game with the stick man. I don't know why, where he's like shooting loads of stuff. I don't know why I have that as my, when I think, oh, that's Serious Sam. And I'm like, no, that's not. But it, I don't know, that just comes to mind.
I don't know. If it's got a, like, I don't know the game you're speaking of exactly, but if you've just got like a complete onslaught of enemies, like thousands upon thousands, and you're just mowing them all down, it's like, well, that's pretty much Serious Sam.
The one I'm thinking of, you go through like different levels doing different things, picking up loads of weapons, but all the enemies, so you're a stick man and all the enemies are stick men, so I don't know. I don't think I even played it. I just watched other people play it. And it was just me going, hey, I'm going to play Bloons Tower Defense. And then still in 2023 and still playing Bloons Tower Defense. So there you go.
Because like Siberian Mayhem is like a standalone expansion, if you don't think you've got time for like the full series, Sam experience. You just want a few levels to see if you're going to like it or not. Just download this one. It plays perfectly fine on its own. Yeah, you'll probably miss out on a few story beats, but no one plays Serious Sam for the story.
I was about to say, is it that?
There is one, but even that plot, they sort of like give up on themselves.
His wife died. No, what are you wanting revenge? I don't know. I'm just saying random shit. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it introduced. Well, Serious Sam's always had a sort of time travel mechanic. Part of the main plot, which basically means I can do whatever the hell I want.
Oh yeah.
I spoilers, I guess, but again, you finish Siberian Mayhem, and the end of it, like another version of Serious Sam just steps out of a wormhole and just goes, "Oh yeah, this timeline version didn't really work out." So he just like they just jump off and join the main campaign of Serious Sam 4. it's totally weird, but it's like saying, "Oh yeah, why are we doing this? How does this work in conjunction with Serious Sam 4?" Like how it's like the same game, so why is this happening? It's like different timeline. Fuck it, why not? It's an excuse to shoot a load of things with like you can dual wield miniguns.
Salvador from Borderlands 2 is interested.
yes, he is, but you can do it all of the time. Yeah, it's just quite cathartic when you see like thousands upon thousands of enemies just charging towards you from the horizon like a massive open field, and you've got dual wielding rocket launchers. It's like go on it, bring it on. Just a lot of fun. Please play Serious Sam, folks.
So you guys have been quite serious. I say serious. You've talked about quite dark, aggressive things, fun things. I'm going to do a complete U-turn and speak about something very pink and blonde.
I thought you might talk about this next. There.
Are you a Brandon boy in a Brandon world?
Life is fantastic. Yes, I've got actually story time. Okay. Oh, anytime I start off with story time, you know something weird has happened.
I'm putting on my seatbelt.
So, I'm doing a PhD. I'm doing a part-time PhD. Okay. So I've got two internal supervisors, and you know, each with their different research groups. One's a research group focused on viruses, and the other research group focuses on you know catalysis and environmental chemistry. So the professor of that environmental chemistry group was like, "Oh, who wants to go see Barbie?" I was like, yeah. So one of the university professors literally invited a group of us out to go watch Barbie. And...
Is that it?
That was it.
That's not really much of a story. It's like, go see this film. Yes.
But it's just like, how often does someone say, oh, yeah, I was invited to go cinema with like one of the professors? I was like, it's nice. So, Barbie.
I could have seen the film myself, but I was working the next day, so I didn't. I was invited to go see it myself.
So, obviously, all the range of actors you've got in Barbie and the actual theme of Barbie, it's a very relaxed acting. It's not like your high-end, high-octane acting. It's quite comical it is comical.
Basically, it's probably the complete opposite of Oppenheimer.
It is the complete opposite of Oppenheimer, yeah. It's slow-paced, it's therapeutic to watch, it's colourful, it's bright, it's snazzy, it's very catchy. I enjoyed Barbie. I did enjoy it. Like, it was fun, it was legit fun watching Barbie. But I wouldn't say it's a film I'd necessarily want to watch multiple times, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, there's like some films you can just watch and you can just be like, oh, I really fancy watching that film.
Oh yeah.
Barbie, you know, like I said, I did enjoy it. You know, Margot Robbie did a great thing. I when I went into the film, obviously, I had a rough idea of what it was going on because the amount of people who were speaking about it. I did not expect John Cena to be in it.
What?
Yep, John Cena's in it. He's acting as one of the Kens who is in the sea. So he's like a Poseidon-style Ken. Rob Brydon's in it, of all fucking people. So
King Rob Brydon.
Yeah, Rob Brydon's in there as a Ken as well. So again, it was just these like actors in there. I just was not expecting them to be in there. I came out of Barbie feeling very. I felt like I had an experiential journey. And what I mean by that is the whole sort of the reason why Barbie has made like such an impact is. So Margot Robbie plays as your stereotypical Barbie, who's you know, blonde, beautiful, can do a bit of everything, you know, is like your ideal Barbie. She's gradually becoming less and less Barbie, and all these Barbies and Kens in this world are basically played by real children. But once the children start to, you know, or say children, it could be anyone, starts to like break their Barbie or do weird things to them, then that Barbie will change shape. So one of the Barbies in this world is called Weird Barbie, which is a Barbie which is permanently in the splits, has had their hair cut, and has had like a strange makeup on. So that one's called Weird Barbie. So Margot Robbie is like obviously walking around, and all of a sudden her heels touch the floor. Like she loses the ability to use high heels. So she starts panicking. She then looks at her thighs and it's like, ah, I've got cellulitis. Because, you know, it's playing on that thing like, you know, Barbie is meant to be a at the time, the perfect female, like blonde, skinny, smart, everything like that. So Barbie thought, okay, I've made, you know, I've promoted feminism, I've made women all powerful, I've encouraged women to become whatever job title they want to be. So Barbie wants to become back to a real Barbie, so has to go to the human world, try and find the child who's playing with her to try and resolve this problem. And then when Barbie and Ken go to the human world, she realizes, hang on a minute, the world's, I thought being as Barbie, I've changed the world. I thought women would be more powerful and everything like that. But it doesn't seem to, obviously, you know, from the modern world, we're better than what we are, but it's still got leaps and bounds still to go for equality. But essentially it was trying to show that, so how Barbie has meant to have encouraged like girls at the time to pursue like careers in like engineering, doctors and everything, rather than being at stay-at-home mums. And it was a very, very powerful thing, and like a coming to terms, and like sort of again just a re-encouraging, you know, women to be able to pursue their dreams. Essentially, I haven't really branded it like how I thought I would, but it is a very, it was a good roller coaster of, oh, I feel like I need like a come down. I feel like I need to watch Oppenheimer after that, basically. You know, there was like a comical ending bit where it's like the Barbies versus the Ken. So rather than having a fight, they do like a dance face off at one point. Then there's like a random bit where they're doing Grease. There's like a few song parodies in there, which were really, really cool.
And the song that Ken does, I've seen that popping up. I've not heard it, but I've seen like that's popped up a little bit on social media. I've seen a few news articles about it. Isn't it like a song called I'm Ken or something?
Yeah. It's a lot of the things in it are quite catchy.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell did this, like, he played the role of like the CEO of Mattel, the creators of Barbie, and he's just like, he wants to be able to like make the perfect Barbies, but all the CEOs are like, we need to make money, and Will's just like, no, we have lots of young girls out there who want to play with Barbies, we'll make their dreams a reality. So he's like pursuing it, like, yeah, it's great. Will Ferrell did a fun job.
I saw a meme about that where it's like, oh, Will Ferrell is being like the CEO of, or like a consumer of multiple children's company, like children's toy companies or stuff like that. Because you got the Lego movie as well, where he's like the mastermind of the Lego world. What, have you not seen the Lego film?
No, I haven't actually. I don't even play the Lego games. I'm stupid.
Oh, the Lego movie. I went to the cinema to see the Lego movie. That was astounding in 3D.
So did I. I went on a date.
Ooh.
That was years ago.
Oh, yeah. All in all, you know, oh, yeah. I don't know if you know recently, but Barbie has broken the $1 billion mark in the box office.
I'm not surprised. I'm really not.
I am, to be honest.
Nah.
I'm really not. It's had so much traction. I'll tell you what, it's got even more traction because I've seen these pissed off people like Ben Shapiro.
Yes, already, oh my God, and his sister.
Already this film's got like 11 out of 10 out of me, and I've not even seen it. It's like, it pissed him off, fucking great.
Yeah, the reason why it pissed Ben Shapiro off is because in the Barbie world, they've got a trans person playing as one of the Barbies. So they've been like saying, oh, this is woke, like having like trans people in. I was like, it's fucking brilliant because there is a trans Barbie to promote, you know, that trans people can play with dolls, they can be whoever they want to be. Like, it's a Barbie has done an amazing like a metaphorical description of, you know, go do what you want to do, be who you want to be, you know, there's a Barbie for everyone, there's a toy for everyone.
Yeah,
you know, my younger brother used to play with Barbies, you know, he loved playing with Barbies as a doll, and even just dolls in general, you know, it didn't stop him. He's turned out all right.
Like, It's a toy. Anyone can play.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, that gets me is like, oh, he's like set fire to a Barbie. He's like, you mean he bought a Barbie doll?
He actually bought a Barbie. We can call him out for that.
People can buy Barbies. It's fine. But him burning it to like make a statement is like, that just means you're really shit at playing with dolls, mate. You need to practice that.
I could just imagine this now, like, thinking back to like the Barbie world. He's just bought this Barbie in a car, burnt it. So now there's probably a Barbie in this Barbie world who's just molten. That's a very grim thing, like this molten Barbie playing with weird Barbie.
Tell you what I did see. You're on about the weird Barbie with like the strange cut hair.
Yeah.
I seen someone make a comparison to Angelica's doll, Tabitha from Rugrats. It's like, it's that.
I thought it was Cynthia, isn't it?
Is it Cynthia? Yeah. Saying like, because that's got completely like half-shaved head and like looks right mess. It's Cynthia.
Go watch Barbie. You know, it's such a chill movie. I was enjoying it. I was just sat there having fun.
We will watch Barbie and we will have a party.
And I feel like I said, I need to have a come down afterwards. I need to watch Oppenheimer. I felt like I wanted to play with Barbies afterwards.
Oh, you do that. Yeah. Oh, nuclear scientist Barbie. That's what you want.
There you go. That's a new one. Right. Here's one. Do you think the actual attraction of both films played on each other because they were released at the same time, thus bringing the term Barbenheimer?
Yes, of course.
It's wonderful.
If they were really separate, how do you think each one would have done in the box offices?
I think they would have done as well because, one, Oppenheimer is a Christopher Nolan film. Christopher Nolan films do pretty well, generally. I think Tenet. I don't think Tenet did the best, but that I think Tenet also came out during the pandemic, so that's probably its problem. But Christopher Nolan films normally do really well, and is it Greta Gerwig? I think her films are pretty good as well. So yeah, I think. Even if they hadn't come out on the same day, I think both films would have done really well.
Yeah, that aside, they had an awful lot of marketing and advertising.
Yeah.
Like the Barbie one's been going on for like well over a year. I think they would have done really well. It's just a nice little bonus. Sure, it probably got more ticket sales, but I wouldn't think it would have made a huge splash.
Yeah, just looking at the box offices, Oppenheimer apparently got $555 million.
Definitely.
I know things like this have happened before when there's been like two contrasting movies come out at like the same time, but for the life of me, I just can't think of any.
But to be honest, I think one reason why Barbie probably also did well is because it probably is more appropriate for children as well, whereas I don't think Oppenheimer is.
Oppenheimer is not when there's nudity in it.
Is there? Fuck, yeah. I need to get tickets.
Yeah, there's a few scenes where. A few sex scenes.
Well, you can brush his hair and undress him everywhere.
Ken Oppenheimer. Ken.
Oh, I mean the Barbie. I just want to meet the Barbie now. Who's responsible for the A bombs?
Hi, I'm nuclear threat Barbie.
Oh my gosh.
I'm responsible for destroying one third of the world.
Why? I'm radioactive meltdown Ken.
Fucking hell.
Chernobyl Ken.
Fallout Ken.
Moral of the story. Barbie. Fucking watch Barbie. What else have you guys been up to? I've got a couple of things still on my list.
Well, Dragon Prince Season 5 came out.
Dragon
More
Prince.
More of the same. It's good. But I didn't think... I think this latest season's a bit muddled at times. So, but Dragon Prince is normally good. It's on Netflix. Yeah. It was a fun 9-episode watch, as it always is. As all 5 seasons are. I did watch the film that inspired Inception that we did mention earlier on the off chance, but I actually watched the film that inspired it, a Japanese anime film called Paprika.
Ooh.
And it made me realize how tame Inception actually is, because it's a dream world and nothing weird happens in Inception if you actually think about dreams. Like, if you think about your dreams, how many times you had like something really weird happen, like a mythical creature or a random like weird and I don't know, some you kind of know what I'm kind of going on about. And watching Paprika, I realized, yeah, Inception is more tame. Paprika is about a device that is like you can see into, tap into your dreams, called, I forgot what it's called, but and by using them you can go into other people's dreams and interact with them. And it basically goes down a big rabbit hole where someone is using these devices to put people into these, basically put people to sleep and basically take away their mind while they're dreaming, in weird dreams where there's like a massive parade. And yeah, like the main character, she uses these devices and she changes herself into Paprika. That is her dreamlike persona. It's a very interesting film. To put it bluntly, it's Japanese Inception. Like, that is the best way to describe it, but it's a bit more than that. It has quite an interesting film. It's directed by Satoshi Kon, who is a director who, he only did 4 films and then he passed away. I can't remember why he passed away, but this film only just dropped on Netflix the other week, and I was like, oh, I really want to watch it because it's a Satoshi Kon film, and I'm glad I have. I know his most famous film is Eternal Blue, which I'm not really sure what that's about, but it's very highly regarded as among anime fans as one of the best anime films. But yeah, Paprika is pretty cool. It's basically weird Inception. It's the film that inspired Inception, and it came out 5 years before Inception. I recommend it. Like, my mate came round and we watched it, and I could see him in the corner of my eye be like, oh my god, I'm not following. He turned around to me and was like, are you following this film? Like, yeah, just about. I know it's a bit weird, like Inception. He's like, yeah, I'm struggling. So it's a bit like Inception, where it might take a couple of watches to fully get what it's trying to lay down. But I think I got the general gist. I got the basic plot points. There's a few subplots that I'm still not quite sure what exactly they were trying to go for. But it's a good film. What else, guys? Didn't you played something, haven't you, Brandon?
Yes, I have played and read 2 more Japanese things on the topic of Japanese things. I'll talk about the manga I've read first before I've gone to the game. So you know how last time I spoke about a new manga I started called Wild Strawberry. Yes. Okay. So I've started another one. Again, only one chapter is out as of recording, and it is called Shoujo Null. Premises of this: you're in modern day Japan, and they have got these like bio/mechanical humanoids who basically work, they can either be used for military purposes, they can be used for like day-to-day slavery related things, bits and pieces like that. All of a sudden one day, there's been an accident involving the weapon class Gijins. So Gijins, they are robots made out of organic materials and devoid of consciousness. So they've got, as you read through the first chapter, basically they're embedded with like a parasite which basically makes them lose their consciousness. So they're basically fully operative based on their programming. And, one of the weapons class get involved in a truck accident, meaning only one of them survived, and she's found by this young lad and is basically looked after. That's all the information we have so far. And towards the end of the first chapter, she goes on a bit of a killing spree because she manages to regain her consciousness. So she's starts to become a bit of a lunatic. The best way I can describe this manga is if you've seen or read Elfen Lied.
Oh, gosh.
Or if you have also read things like Brynhilde in the Darkness. So both by the same author, Elfen Lied and Brynhilde in the Darkness. I'm getting really similar vibes from it, except it's not as etchy.
Like, there's nothing etchy so far in what I've read in the first one. It has got more of the darkish theme, and it's also one of the first series I've ever, like, first ever, like, anime or manga things where I've seen a vape used. As soon as I saw that, I was like, ooh, that's different. Have you seen any?
No, it's probably because it's more modern, so it's, you know, I'll put in a vape, for example. I know there's a manga where it's like, what's smoking behind the convenience store, something like, I think it's, I don't think that's the name, but that's the premise, and it, they're just smoking, but I haven't seen vaping in any, no.
Yeah, so as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, that's a bit different, it's quite modernized. And yeah, so essentially, so you've got the guy who's found the Gijin, they're walking around, and there's a bunch of YouTubers start come up and like Twitch, well, say streaming, and they're trying to basically find the culprit, because obviously she's a wanted, because she's a, you know, a weapons class Gijin, which is capable of mass destruction. She then goes on a rampage because she gets chainsawed to the face, and that inner parasite gets destroyed. And yeah, so she just goes on a rampage, kills them, and runs off with the boy. And the guy's just like, well, you can't do that, you can't kill. And she's like, why not? It's fun. And he's like, you know what? You're probably right there. Because he's been like bullied like throughout, you know, he doesn't like humanity. So he's basically ran off with this Gijin. And yeah, I've enjoyed it. Again, similar to Wild Strawberry, I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes. It would be nice to see a new series like on the cusp of terms of like Elfen Lied and Brynhilde in the Darkness. Because originally when I started to see the themes, I was just like, oh, it could be quite similar to both of those.
Do you like Elfen Lied?
I genuinely did. I really, really did. Yeah. I finished the manga as well. I genuinely enjoyed it. I thought it was a really fun ride.
I'm not a fan. I think Elfen Lied's not that great. But on the flip side, I think it's a very, very important anime for especially teenagers of the time that came out.
Absolutely. And
I think that's why it's important. But I don't think it's that great, but I think it's very important in other ways.
Not going to lie, though, like if I was to compare the anime to the manga is a lot better. Because there's quite a bit that they've missed in the anime.
I would say that I think that's quite easy because there's a lot more to chew on.
Yeah, and it's finished.
That's what I mean.
So it's important that it's finished.
That's what I mean.
It's the same thing for Brynhilde. Like, I feel bad because Elfen Lied and Brynhilde in the Darkness, they're both by the same author. Both of the series have not been animated to completion, which sucks because beyond that point of where the anime finishes, it genuinely gets really good. And I can't, like, well, Brynhilde in the Darkness takes a bit of a weird turn, but actually, it takes quite a good turn, actually. It becomes less etchy and more action.
Can I ask, whose chair did I just hear?
That's my chair, because right. So I bought this chair when I first got... Actually, no, I've had this chair since I was at university. And look, right, I'm just going to load up my audio waveforms. I'm just going to literally rock forwards and backwards. You ready? So it still like pops up in my microphone. But yeah, I need to get a better chair.
It sounds like... You know what it sounds like?
The casting couch.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was going to say, it sounds like teenagers watching Elfen Lied.
Yeah.
Even I've seen that.
Yeah. Overall, if you're a fan of like Elfen Lied and the casting couch, no, and Brynhilde in the Darkness, maybe see Shoujo Noel, see where that goes. But then that follows me on to the next thing I'll talk about, which is, again, a Japanese bit of media. And I've actually played something new for a change.
Oh yes. My gosh.
Taking the leaf out of Chris's book, I'm very okay with this one. Very, very okay. It's free on PlayStation Plus. You've got game 1 and 2 on there, so eventually I'll talk about game 2. And it's a game called Death End Request. The premises of this is you've got this video game called World Odyssey, which was created, and the programmers are obviously working on it. And then the whole server gets shut down for about a year, but one of their programmers have gone missing. So Dan, you can probably guess where this is going, seeing as, you know, we've seen Sword Art Online. But one of the programmers has basically been trapped within the game. And her name is Sheena, and she's lost her memory, got amnesia, fighting the last boss, gets revived. Then somehow, like, you've got the real world spilling over into the game world and vice versa. Manages to get into contact with her other programmer at her work, and eventually another one. And the whole idea of this is, obviously, the server's been shut down, and it's very, very buggy, so there's lots of glitches and bugs in the game. And you've
the only way that you can get out is, unlike the Sword Art Online system where, similar to the Sword Art Online system where basically they can't log out. They're just trapped within the game. And the only way to probably close the game is to complete the game. So basically they're self-aware that that obviously the main character is aware it's a game, but she has to regain her memories. But she meets like several NPCs along the way who will join the party. But obviously they're NPCs. But at the same time, they've bugged and glitched, so they're more sort of conscious than what they originally were. But you can't break the third wall and say, I'm not from the game world, I'm from the real world. So they're trying to keep that boundary there. But yeah, the whole idea is you've got to solve like the bugs and glitches throughout. It's got a similar system to... I say it's got the same encounter system as Pokemon Sword and Shield, where you see, obviously, you're walking around the overworld, and you know, like original Pokemon, it was random encounter. For this game, it's not random encounter. You're walking around, and you'll see like the enemies walking around. You approach the enemy, and then it loads up the encounter screen, where it's turn-based, moving around and do your actions. So you've got physical attacks, magic attacks. And then if your character gets like wound up, they can go into like a glitch mode where, obviously, in typical Japanese mode, they have less clothes but become more powerful. Yeah, so that's a really cool mechanic. It's like, honestly, the art's amazing. The voice acting's great. One of the cool things in it is, as part of the game, what you can do is during fights, you can change the genre of the game. So say, for example, you can start it off as an RPG, but what you can do during a fight is turn it into a first-person shooter. Or if you had enough of that, you can turn it into a platformer, or I think you can turn it into a platformer, or like basically you can just turn it into different subgenres of games during encounters. The only reason I'm 16 hours into the game and only on chapter 2 is because I got lost in chapter 1. I just didn't know where I was going. I couldn't figure it out. But overall, I'm enjoying the game. Very, very fun. You know, check it out. It's free on PlayStation Plus if you've got it. If you like JRPGs, you know, if you like good voice acting, good art, it's got decent music as well. It's very interesting. Like, the whole concept of it is that they have to basically defeat the bugs, like try and solve the bugs.
Yeah. You know what? The premise of it you described sounds incredibly close to a Digimon Cyber Sleuth.
It is a bit similar, but I'm yet to play Cyber Sleuth, actually. Have you played it?
Yeah, I finished the first one. It's pretty good. I did get this sort of spin off one.
What, Hacker's Memory?
That's the one, yeah, because it's like literally like the same game. It's like the same area, so I only played it for a bit. It's like, yeah, it's just like reused there. So it's like the story's different. It's like the same game, but
yeah,
I kind of lost interest by it because I went well out my way on the original to like try and get like 100%. I really didn't enjoy it that much.
But yeah, so when like there's like these spillovers into the real world, like say for example, they could be walking around the game world, and all of a sudden they might find like a photograph of like a park and just like, why is this an item in the game? And then the NPCs come out saying, oh, that's a really nice picture. Like, how when did you draw that? And we're just like, this is a bit of ancient, this is some futuristic technology from my city where I grew up. It's like, that's very nice technology you've got there. And then they like walk around and there's like a part in like this, like a shipyard area at the moment. I just finished chapter 2. And there's like some fish, and there's like dead fish and frogs on the floor. And they're like, oh, there's monsters, quick, kill them. And it's like, it's a fish and a frog from the real world. Like, but they can't tell them it's the real world. So it's like very interesting. It's quite comical at times as well. I'm enjoying it. I don't know necessarily if, you know, the majority of people will enjoy it. I'm just liking it just because, you know, I'm a sucker for JRPGs personally. Yes.
Well, I've played something else.
Sacre bleu.
Now, this game is... I should premise... If anyone is thinking about playing this game, this is a heavy 18-plus game. And I mean that very seriously.
Is it Paw Patrol?
No, this is Fear and Hunger.
This
is a very heavy 18 game. 18-plus game. Everything... This is a horror dungeon crawler. It has a very interesting battle system called the limb system, where every time you're in a battle, you target enemies' limbs by like destroying different parts of limbs. You'll be able to kill said monster or said enemy easier. The thing is, that also happens to you. And like enemies, once you've lost a limb, you cannot get it back.
Oh, so is it not like, say for example, you go to like a save or like a respawn, not respawn point, but like a healing spot, you don't get the limb back at all?
So let's say the first battle you have, you lose your right arm. You don't get that back for the rest of the game.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. It's like, that's permanent damage. That's an interesting
This is obviously heavily influenced by Soulsborne, by From Software Games. I believe this game was made in a JRPG maker originally, I believe so. There's also a sequel, but I'm just talking about the first one. This is a very scary game. This is a very hard and dark and hopeless game at times. It's near enough every enemy wants to fuck you. Sometimes, literally.
Oh.
Yes.
Goblin Slayer vibes?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Well, that's what I mean when I say it's very 18. I like this if... like when there is a sensor mod if you don't want to see everything, because it has everything on show pretty much. There are enemies with their privates there, and you can target those privates to destroy those privates to help kill said enemy, for example.
So I'm looking at screenshots and it comes up with body and mind. So would you literally come up with an option saying dick or something that?
Well, yeah, pretty much. Without saying much more, you got four different characters you can pick from. You've got the mercenary, the knight, the dark priest, and the outlander. And you all play a bit differently. Ultimately, the story is essentially berserk, kinda. There is a character that you're trying to find who is essentially Griffith from Berserk, and what. Like the Outlander is basically Guts from Berserk, and the Knight is basically Casca from Berserk. So it's heavily inspired by Berserk and Soulsborne games like Dark Souls. But yeah, this is a game where you don't want to obviously lose limbs on your character or characters, and you will try and avoid battles because every battle is life and death. It is hard. I started playing and I instantly got attacked by dogs and died in the first battle. it's that difficult. I played, I fled the dogs, went into the dungeon, found a guard, and it killed me instantly. So it is difficult. And there are with playing, there's different characters helps you maneuver through the dungeon differently. There's loads of items to find, but always random. So it's a little bit like a roguelike where you're never sure what items you're going to get when you do a run, when you play the game. Saving is very difficult. You've got to, it's through coin tosses, trying to pick through heads and tails. So you can't, you're never sure if you're going to be able to save. And there's other things like certain attacks where you can flip a coin and you can get extra damage, or you can avoid an attack. But then if you fail, you're probably dead. Yeah, this is a very hard game. But it is fun when the stars align and you start getting further into the dungeon. If you like horror dungeon crawlers, and you like Dark Souls and Berserk and Silent Hill, I guess, like, yeah, this is might be something you might be interested in, but I must preface again, this is a heavy 18 plus game. This is not something you want a little kid playing. Definitely not. Definitely, definitely not.
How much is it on Steam when you got it?
It was like 5-6 quid, I can't remember. Ooh, I got it a while back.
That's really tempting.
I'd say the inspirations for that stem more from like a Darkest Dungeon, the RPG.
Yeah. Like I said, it's fun. It is very hard. I was banging my head against the wall at times, but not literally. But when you start getting through it, it can be really fun. But it is difficult. It's not easy. But I do recommend it. And there's been quite a few Twitch streamers been playing it because it's had a bit of a resurgence recently. And there is a second game, but I haven't played it. But I think that's the sequel is heavily inspired by Majora's Mask because it's set over a 3-day cycle.
Ooh.
And it is called Termina as well. There you go. Yeah, that's Fear and Hunger for you.
What else has been crackalacking, lads?
I don't know. Many things.
I did a run through of Elden Ring as a Pokemon trainer.
I've been meaning to ask you, what does that entail?
So basically, I can't attack things directly. I can only attack things with like summons.
Oh, right. I thought you were like trying to throw like stones at them to try and catch them or something.
No.
Well, I say I can't attack anything. I had to make one exception, though, because obviously the game using just like spirit ashes isn't doable. But you do have other options, like you can use stuff like essentially anything that summons anything else. So you could use like a Wraith Calling Bell, which essentially summons Ghastly. Although I didn't use that because the damage is good. Not worth bothering with. I did, though, make an exception with a weapon called the Rosas Axe. If you do the ult attack on that, it summons three skeletons which sort of attack directly ahead of you from like three different directions. The only caveat being to actually able to hit them with that, you've got to hit them with your axe as well. But it's obviously it costs FP to use, so I've essentially only got so many limited attacks. So PP basically. And if the enemy moves, or even thinks about moving, then I've missed half the time. Because the attack's got a long wind-up, and because it only attacks pretty much directly in front of me. They go left or right, that's it. I've just wasted my time. And it's like a long recovery time as well. So I pretty much had to build my character with like the heaviest armor in the game, and like a ton of vigor, because if I'm going to hit something, I'm going to get hit back, because I can't bloody move. That's it.
How far did you get with the Pokemon Trainer playthrough?
Well, I beat it. I didn't do Millennia, though.
I was about to say, like, how the hell would you do Millennia?
Well, I beat the game with, like, half hour of stream left, and was like, well, I've got to get there first. It's like, I'm not going to get there in half hour. It's not going to happen. I went to, like, the village. I got to, like, the Consecrated Snowfield, so I beat Commander Nile, the one I really struggled with. I managed to beat him, and then I got to, like, the Consecrated Snowfield. Got to, like, the Invisible Village, and it just wasn't going to happen. I haven't got a ranged attack, and you've got like the archers there that deal insane amounts of damage.
Yeah, it's a bit disgusting.
And I can't hit them without getting hit back. It just wasn't going to happen. It was just like, yeah.
So who would you say was the hardest boss as part of the Pokemon Trainer playthrough?
I struggled a lot with Fire Giant. I was really pissed off at one run because his health bar was literally empty. There was nothing in it, but he didn't fucking die and he killed me. I was like, are you serious? It's like, you must have had like one HP. There's nothing in it. Like, why would you die? That took a lot of attempts. But honestly, it weren't too bad. It was a bit rough to start, but the problem with Elden Ring, having played it several times now, is it's always the same. You run around the entire map just collecting all your sacred tears, all your golden seeds, before you do anything. So it's like 2-3 hours before you've even attempted a boss or tried doing anything. It's just like, yeah, run around. Especially if you're not doing a challenge run where you require a certain weapons. Like, yeah, man, I've got to get that. That's all the way in Bloody Caelid, so I've got to go get that first before I can attack anything. But it's the same every time. That's the only downside to Elden Ring. I love the open world, but once you know where everything is, it's like, yeah, do this again. And then you think, can I really be arsed to run all over the map? And because there's so many things you want to grab, you never, there must be an efficient route, but I can never find it. I just end up like picking a direction, just going for it, then going halfway towards going towards the sacred tea and just keep going, oh, wait, no, there's something over here I want to grab. So on. So my pattern for going around, it's like a fucking fly just swarming around the map, just like going everywhere. It's like here. Pick a route. Pick a route and stick with it. But it never works. But yeah, it was a fun little challenge. I used the wolves to start with. Then I went to Stormhawk, or Articuno, as we named him, for a bit. thinking he was one of the better ones looking at the tier list, and then I realised I was using the wrong bird. I was using like the F tier one. Yeah, so I grabbed a Pidgey, the other bird one, and that was a lot better. But by the time I got him, it was like really like too little, too late. I was already like a lot of the way through the game, and to be honest, half the times the summons were completely useless. And I didn't want to, but I got all the way to the end, and I just couldn't do it without using Mimic Tier. So I didn't want to. I really didn't want to, but everyone was saying it's allowed. It's Ditto. It's like. It is.
That's actually
Ditto,
a really cool shout there, saying it's Ditto. Yeah. Holy crap.
It is Ditto. It is Ditto. I've got my skeletons, so I've got Duskull. It's like I'm a dog's ad. Arcanine, I had Growlithe, I had it Houndour.
Houndoom.
I've got Articuno, I've got Pidgey.
Wait, how many wolves was it?
Well, you get three of them.
Oh, so. There goes Entei, Suicune, and Raikou.
Oh, I guess. But we didn't name them that. Yeah, but yeah, for all intents and purposes, yes. It was fun, but the end game just suddenly got super massive, super hard, and I just ended up doing the same thing I normally do.
Hello,
Mausoleum Proving Grounds. How you doing? Nice to be back. All you poor little Abenomics, you're gonna have a very bad day. Same every time.
So
if they do an Elden Ring, if they do an Elden Ring 2, I want them to stick with the open world formula. But I don't know how you'd do it. Like, I want them to rework it so all like health things, like all upgrades, are kind of semi-randomized, I guess. Because you're just doing the same thing every bloody playthrough.
Well, to even make it watch, more like a roguelike.
I guess kind of, but only for like item drops. Because if you watch like other YouTubers, like I don't know, Baron's Castle, for example, doing like Elden Ring runs, challenge runs, the start's always the same. It's like first few hours, run around the entire map, just grab everything. Or even doing anything. Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing. It was a fun run, but I don't know if I'd recommend it or not. Using the same attack over and over again, it just gets boring after a while.
What if you did it like Pokemon Nuzlocke, where you use a summon, if the summon dies, you can't use that summon anymore?
Yeah, you just softlock yourself. This is only summoning. I made a point of not summoning anything that was like sort of humanoid.
I see you're purposely like going for creature based.
Like animal type. So yeah, that's why I only use like the bird and the hawks. But they were surprisingly little. There's rats as well, but they were garbage.
So did you make it a point to collect every summon?
I collected all the ones that would have been any use to me. So I did catch them all, as it were. Because all the other summons I could have got were just other humans, so it's not worth it. I've got the plants as well, so I've got Lilip, if you count that, I guess. Never use them.
Cool. Is that everything, guys? You done anything else?
I think so. So yeah, I think it's going to be a slightly smaller one. So you've got a slightly easier editing job, Brendan.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, you know, as always, you can follow us on our social media: Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Always. Well, Twitter now is X, I guess. Facebook X.
Oh, all right. Before we close, can I just mention something? What do you guys think of X?
It's stupid. It stinks of divorced dad energy.
It was a turd before, and it's still a turd now.
Because my main gripe is, obviously, when people say, oh, I'm going to tweet this, I'm going to go to Twitter to do this, they've lost that marketing-like strategy of, oh, we're going to tweet. And it's like, oh, what are you going to do with this message? Oh, I'm going to exit. What, are you going to leave the building? What do you mean?
You're going to kiss it goodnight.
Kiss it goodnight.
I can see Marvel knocking on their doors and say, excuse me, like, we've got copyright claims with X-Men and X-Force. Yeah, it's really, really stupid. At least a tweet like made sense. It's like, oh, I'm going to tweet this. It's like,
yeah, because it had all the brand imaging. Like, you had the blue box and the white bird. Like, it had a strong brand image. Now it just looks like, as you described it, Chris, it looks like I've just downloaded some sort of dodgy app.
Yeah, oh, I've got to tell you this, guys. Use your brain for visuals. So for a really shit joke, I just said, oh, it looks like I've downloaded a dodgy app. But I changed, and I screenshotted it, but I changed my wallpaper to Pornhub. Which took far too long to do, because I had to like crop it and everything to make it fit. It's like, this is way too much effort for a shit joke. But you got to laugh, and that's what's important.
So all for those little jokes.
Yeah, I've seen people go, or you can do like file sharing on now on X. You just go to like X video.
I mean, it's nice that probably some of the new features that are probably going to get brought over to it in like over the period. But for now, like that brand change to X is a bit, that's a bit of a strong change. Because now, like, that whole Twitter logo thing has just vanished. Like, it's just gone to the realms of the internet ether.
I think it's going to go one or two ways. It's either going to realize it's not working and go back to Twitter, which is possible. Or they will just completely rebrand all over again. Elon Musk can't make up his fucking mind. And he's doing a shit job anymore. I did kind of want Threads to take off, but it doesn't seem to be doing anything. It seems to have stalled. But I have noticed my reach on Twitter has plummeted. Like, I'm a post only getting like a couple of reacts now, like at most.
At least your TikTok is still doing good.
I'm not actually checked it today. Yeah, YouTube's all right. Again, my YouTube's all over the place. I'll have like one video that has like several thousand views, and then the next one gets like two. I'm going to stop moaning now.
Yeah, I'm going to stop moaning as well.
Well, you know where we are on social media. You know how these two are on Twitter. Not Twitter, on Twitch.
On X.
Yeah. Both of these guys will be streaming on Twitch. I'll have to say it again. Also, check out Retro Smashed, because they're our sister podcast, and you should check them out, because they're great. Anything else I need to add? We always
No, you've got your charity stream next week, so...
I've got a charity stream.
You're not doing a charity. You're doing a charity walk.
When this comes out, I've just done my charity hike the day before. At the time of recording, it's still over less than 2 weeks away.
Dan, have you got a Fitbit or anything like that?
Yeah.
Wear it for the whole journey. Let's see how many calories you burn.
I've never taken it off since I bought it.
I know, but I'm looking forward to like when you track it, like how much calories and steps it would take.
Oh, do you remember? Did you see that I did 50,000 steps a day in one day?
Yes.
Right. Let me find my data for that day. I'll tell you how many calories I did that day.
So it's generally going to be interesting to see, like in the 24 hours you do the 3Ps, how much is that going to be?
So the day I did 50,000 steps, I burned, apparently, 5,596 calories.
That works out a calorie every 10 steps. That seems a bit weird. A calorie every 10 steps. If I'm on a treadmill, it'll take me about, a good 6 or 7 seconds before it says, one calorie.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's just accounting for the step exercise. That's not accounting for you breathing and all your other bodily functions.
Yeah, because you obviously naturally burn calories as well.
That's 6,000 calories, and just how long did it take you to do 50K?
Pretty much a full working day. I went out at just before 10, and didn't get back till about 6.
What, you just went out on an 8-hour walk?
Pretty much.
Oh, wow.
No, I said to myself I wanted to do 50,000 steps that day. And, well,
Where did you walk around?
Hmm?
Where did you just walk around? Just around the fields?
No. So I went from... unless you live in Leicester, you'd be like, I have no idea what these places are. But I started at mine. I walked to Bradgate Park. I went through the woods and into the back... the fields in the back of mine... into the woods, then it went into Bradgate Park, went up to the Old John, the little castle, in Bradgate Park, then went into Newtown Linford, walked from there into Anstey. From Anstey I went to Beaumont Lees, then I went to Birstall, and I had my lunch at the train station, then from Birstall I went to Fermerston. Going through Watermead Country Park at Fermerston, I bought a new bag because my bag broke when I came out of Bradgate Park. So I was like, fuck this, I'm binning my bag, buying a new one today. After Fermerston, I walked into Syston, walked along the canal into Cossington, then walked into Rofley, went around Rofley, then went up the golf course into Ferkeston, then went into Cropston, and then I was home.
Bloody hell.
I know. That took over 8 hours, pretty much. Well, it was a bit longer than 8 hours.
I'd just use a treadmill.
To be honest, I would have just walked outside. That sounds like it would have been fun.
I'm glad I did it. I'm not doing it again, though. Fuck that. My legs fucking died when I got home. I was like, the last 10,000 steps were fucking painful.
So you just did, you walked around Leicester?
Pretty much, yeah. The last 10,000, 15,000 were painful. I'm not going to lie. And when I got home, I had a massive bath. It was great.
Witcher bath.
Yep. Right, and there we go. The episode goes full circle. There you go. If you're having a stressful day, have a bath and sit in it like Geralt of Rivia.
Legs akimbo.
Yep. And hopefully you got a Yennefer nearby.
Or Henry Cavill nearby. I don't know.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
yep. Stay safe, everyone.
Yeah. Bye.